often begin the message with the way that Paul would greet the churches he helped spread the gospel seed to: grace, mercy, and peace. But today I also want to say grace, mercy, peace, and joy be to you through Jesus Christ. May that fill your hearts to overflowing today. I have to tell you, something funny happened during the sermon, and I was about maybe 10 minutes into the sermon this morning, and the little spotlight that's on me just went out. So Terry Kufall, our properties chair, thought my 10-minute sermon, I think, was enough. He had it rigged, so the light went off. But I just kept going, and I'm just going to keep going today, too, because I got the joy down in my heart. So I want you to read the verse. This is the verse the SEM has chosen for this year, and Paul's writing it to this church at Corinth, and I want you to read it with me, because it really is a way, a prayer, but also a mind prayer for us and our joy together. So it says memory verse for the week there on the front cover. It's 2 Corinthians 1:24. Let's read that together. Not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, for you stand firm in your faith. And if you open up to the inside there, you'll see I have a couple questions to begin our message today. The first one is, what's on your bucket list? How many of you have seen the movie The Bucket List with Morgan Freeman and Jack? Yeah, it's pretty funny. If you haven't seen it, as the name of the movie would imply, these two men find out they don't have that long to live, and they share with each other their bucket list, and one of them has a lot of resources, and he's able for them to enable them to actually check off a lot of things on their list, and some of them pretty spectacular. Like, I think they skydive and they go to Mount Everest and they go to the Taj Mahal and they kind of travel around the world anyway. And they check several things off of their bucket list. Now, I don't know if Paul had a bucket list, but I know Paul had an ambition for his ministry with the people of God that he was blessed to serve. And so I'm really going to ask you two questions today. I mean, if you want to share something on your bucket list, I shared one that's on mine. Is I would really like to go to Germany before I die. And actually, if it works out, maybe I might try to go in 2017, because that's the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. 500 years since Luther nailed those 95 theses. Well, that'll be the anniversary, October 31st, 2017. So maybe that'll be a bucket list thing for me. But whether that works out or not, I would like to go to Germany sometime, because that's the roots of not just our church, but my family traces its roots back there as well. So what's on your bucket list? Yeah, that's kind of an important thing, but I think these next two questions are really important. And it is, where is your joy in life? Another way you might ask that, this might be maybe a little more of a world focus, but what's your ambition in life? People often ask me, you know, what do you want to do? You know, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I got a confession to you all. I did not want to be a pastor. I did not plan to be a pastor. I was always going to be a teacher. And when I went to Concordia College, it was called college then, River Forest, now it's called Concordia University Chicago. They've changed the name, but it's still the same place. And I went there to train to be a teacher. And some of you have heard this story before. I was really impressed by my math teacher in high school, and that kind of reinforced that I wanted to be a teacher. So when I went to River Forest, I was studying secondary ed when I wanted to double major in math and science. Miss Ropp was a math teacher, geometry teacher too. She just really left an impression on me. And then the Spirit had something else in store, and he knocked on my head with a 2x4 sometime during the summer. I don't remember an exact moment, but sometime in the summer between my sophomore year and junior year in college, I felt God calling me to go to seminary. But you know how it is with God sometimes? We like to bargain with God and, you know, say, well, you know, well. So here's what I kind of, in my mind, and prayers to God, saying, okay, I'm going to go to seminary. I think you're calling me to go do that, God, but I still want to get my teacher degree in case I don't like being a pastor, because I know I'll like being a teacher. I knew that. So I switched from math and science to English and psychology and got my teaching degree in secondary ed did my student teaching and then went straight to seminary and went straight out of seminary to Buffalo, Oklahoma, and I've been a pastor ever since. 25 years in June. Yeah. And 25 years of blessing. 25 years of joy. And when I say that, I can say that in all sincerity. It doesn't mean it was always easy. It doesn't mean it was always great, hunky-dory, but very much joy-filled 25 years, including 12-plus years here with you. So, Paul's prayer is really my prayer, Pastor Henschel's prayer, my dad's prayer, Pastor Schumacher's prayer, anybody who serves as a pastor. This is, he says something amazing. He says, my joy is when I see joy in you and when I see you standing firm in the faith. And I can tell you that is true for every pastor. Boy, when we see you, our brothers and sisters in Christ, standing on that faith of God, and to celebrate the Kinsels today, not just becoming members, but get Reagan and Gavin's baptism. And at 9:30, we baptized little Hudson Hunt as well, and to celebrate that gift of faith, and then to be partners with you all, growing in that faith. Wow, that's a joy-filled privilege. So, what is your joy? What is your ambition? What do you hope to accomplish? And Paul says it this way, and this is our verse for today. He says, not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, Paul says. For you stand firm in the faith. So basically, his ambition as an apostle, as one sent by God, you know, he was their pastor basically, was to work with them for their joy, but also to make sure that they would stand firm in the faith, firm on this word of God. And you'll hear that, you know, even when we receive the new members here, the Kinsels and Bill, and at earlier service, Dax said, he said, do you believe that this is the word of God and that what we teach as Lutherans, especially from the catechism, comes from the word of God? Is this what you believe? If so, say, I do believe. And so did you, and you became a member of this congregation as well. So it's an opportunity to affirm out loud that we are standing firm on this word of God and holding on to that faith which the Spirit has given to us. So he wants to work with them and he wants to stand firm, but did you catch the first part of that verse? He says, now, just a minute, I got to straighten you out here. I got to straighten some things out. And I've always kind of wondered this about the New Testament. I wonder if the churches where Paul wrote not one letter, but two letters to, they had some issues. Because Corinth definitely had some issues here. And some of the issues actually were with Paul as their leader, as their pastor. So he says, not that we lord it over to you. And you see, part of the problem that Paul was having is there were people in the community there that were twisting what Paul was teaching. You know, and as a pastor, boy, I could see how that'd be like a dagger in the side. If someone took what you were teaching and really messed it all up, twisted it all up. But even more than this, I think they were questioning Paul's motivation, his heart. And you see that kind of in this. He says, not that we exalt it over you. And did you hear that in the gospel reading today? When Jesus said to the disciples, he says, you know, the leaders of the Gentiles, they lord it over. Like they take and say, these are my subjects and you're under my thumb and you have to do what I say because I'm the king. I am not the king. I am your pastor. But like Paul, I don't say it to you too. I don't lord it over you. It's not about exalting me. That's not about me at all. It's about our Savior. That's what Paul was saying. So he said, let me set things straight. Not that we lord it over you, but we work with you. There's this partnership here. And today is really a great day as we celebrate the seminary and all those years of training pastors. It's a great day for us to celebrate our partnership in ministry. We work together. I'm working for your joy. You're working for my joy. You're working for the joy and standing firm together. Wow. So really what Paul is trying to say then, here's why I'm doing what I do. Here's why I'm willing to be a servant to you and to your happiness. And I like this phrase here in the sermon notes. It says, Paul's ambition is this, to to be a fellow worker, and this is the phrase that the seminary is using this year, a helper for joy. You see that on the inside of the insert here? Dr. Meyer said, we are co-workers of faith, helpers of joy. And that's my heart for you. That was Paul's heart for the people that he was blessed to serve alongside of. And really, the word servant is greatly important. I know when I was at seminary, you know, one of the things they have to do, because you have a limited amount of time, is they try to jam a lot of theology into our heads. Right, Pastor? Yeah. So, I mean, we study Greek and Hebrew so we can read the original languages, and we study a lot of doctrine, a lot of history in the church and all of that. So they are charged with training up and raising up theologians. But more important than that we are servants first. Servant theologians. And to me, that's what Paul was. Boy, he had a servant's heart. My dad helped me remember this when I went on vicarage. For those of you who don't know, here's how a seminary works. You go for 2 years of classes, and then you do a third year, like an internship, at a church, and you learn under a supervising pastor, and then you come back to seminary for your fourth year. So my third year, I went to Richland, Washington, which is in the southeast corner, kind of the dry, arid part of the state of Washington, and served at Redeemer Lutheran, Richland, Washington. But my dad sent me a little note, and I stuck it on the bulletin board in my little apartment where I lived that year while I was there. And he said, remember, Mark, you're there to learn from these people and to serve these people. To learn from these people and to serve these people. And I think that's just as true for me today here, even though I've graduated seminary. And you might say, well, Pastor, I thought your job was to be the teacher. You're the preacher, right? I said, yeah, that's true. That's certainly a part of my role. But I am also learning alongside of you, growing alongside of you, and learning from you. I know Pastor will attest to this in his visitation ministry. Sometimes we get ministered to way more when we go and make calls to you all, especially when you're hurting, and see how your faith is holding you up. Than we, I think, give sometimes. So it's really a partnership in ministry. And Paul says something about this. And I like to say that my joy would be your joy, and that your joy would be my joy. He says, I want to be a worker for your joy. And the joy that he's talking about is not like the world's joy, or, you know, kind of this happy surface. It's deep, deep joy. And so he says, well, this joy, it's not like, you know, just whistle while you work, like you're trying to get through the day, the drudgery of the day, you know. No, that's not what he's talking about. And the scripture really teaches us, and Paul a lot in his writings reminds his fellow believers that the joy that scripture teaches is not based on worldly pleasures either. Because, you know, the stuff of this world is so temporary. You know, and as Christians who live in Oklahoma, right here in Tornado Alley, we get reminded pretty much every year, don't we, how quickly all those earthly things can just be swept away. Swept away. So we definitely don't want to, you know, rest our joy on that or on the things of this world, the temporary things. But instead, Paul says, the joy comes from faith. Standing firm on that faith. Wow. So, you know what? I like a better question. I give you a different question now. So rather than saying, where's your joy? That's a good one. But rather than saying, what's your ambition in life? To say, what kind of significance would you like to have with your life? Because success, ambition, maybe just kind of think the world kinds of things in those terms. But I think when we're thinking kingdom, when we're thinking this joy of the Lord here, we're saying, what kind of significant kingdom impact does God want to have in me and through me? And that's, boy, that is joy too. And I will, you know, I'll echo something, a thought from Paul too. Paul knew it would cost him. And it did. It cost him a lot. In fact, Paul's basically pouring out his life, laying down his life, willing to lay down his life for the sake of their joy. And I'm going to read for you. I didn't put this note in there, but if you want to put this reference, this is 2 Corinthians 11. starting at verse 24. This is what Paul endured for their joy. 5 times I received at the hand of the Jews 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, dangers from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. In toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure. And apart from other things, I gotta stop. I've not experienced any of those. I've never been shipwrecked for the gospel. I've never had someone get out the whip because they didn't like what I was doing as a pastor. I've never faced any of those, but every pastor has faced this one. Apart from other things, there's the daily pressure on me of anxiety for all the church. And basically, what Paul's saying is, you know, I have a heart for everyone in the congregation. Right, Beth? So, in some ways, you're never off. But, Paul says, that's okay. It's worth it. He was willing to pay the cost. And think of your pastors. Wow. Joy. Joy. To sow those seeds of the gospel with you. Not just for you as your pastor, but with you, as Paul said, ministering with you, serving with you. And that's what we do. That's what we do. And here's a great promise to end with. See, Paul knew this was true, even when he was shipwrecked, even when he was floating out there in the sea, he was not alone. And this is the promise. You know, as you are a co-worker with me, as you are a co-worker with one another, you are never alone. We are doing it together. We are ministering together. We are growing in that joy together. But listen to this promise of the one who, as the writer of Hebrews says, and this is there in your sermon notes, Hebrews 12:2, speaking of Jesus. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand the throne of God. And I really believe, you know, this joy that Jesus was looking forward to was not just his being restored to his place of glory and honor in heaven. Surely that was a joyful thing too. But I really think a great part of Jesus' joy is your joy. And the joy of knowing he will be with you and you will be with him forever. And so he makes that promise to you, a joy-filled promise. I will be with you always. So, like Dad said, Mark, you're there to learn from these people and to serve these people. So I want to share something. A member at our church in Louisiana, his name was Clint Chevalier, and he shared this phrase with me. I don't even know if it was original to him, but it has stuck with me over the years. Now, I've been here 12 plus years, so it's been in my heart and mind. Clint said this. He said, think about these two words. Worshipful work. Worshipful work. And he was a layman. He did a lot of volunteering and service in our church. But he said, you know, if every believer could see whatever they do every day as worshipful work, it could take the most mundane task in your everyday life and just raise it up as a holy offering to God. So that's really a part of my prayer for you too, that wherever you are, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, that you see that as worshipful work for the Lord, and that Lord fills you with joy in that work too. It doesn't mean it will always be easy or even pleasant. It wasn't for Paul, but it's still, Paul was still filled with joy. So no matter what, we have this promise. No matter what, we have this joy rooted firmly on faith. And whenever someone asks you, what is your joy in life? What is your ambition in life? You could echo that response of our brothers at the seminary. I am a co-worker of faith, a helper of joy. Amen. May that peace and that joy pass all of our human understanding. May it truly guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.